Hebrews chapter 3. Turn there quickly. And as you're turning there, if you see something that shoots out of my mouth and it looks like confetti, it's this Jolly Rancher that I'm sucking on. And everything's okay. I just probably got into it and spit this thing out. I'm not used to preaching with anything in my mouth, but my mouth is dry this morning. How many of you are struggling with the allergy season right now? I don't know. Okay, it's good to know that I'm not alone. I thought it was just because I was from Louisiana. It has just hit me like a freight train. So Hebrews, I'm sorry, did I say chapter 3? Chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version this morning. So you thought I was playing around. We're getting serious. Here we go. King James. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Through faith. Everybody say that. Through it's through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I love that scripture. I love that idea that God framed the world. He framed it. He pictured it. He framed it. He set it into motion. And we just read the scripture and where everything that we see, all of creation, is the works of His hands. God has a plan for creation. And His name is Jesus. Have you ever gone on a trip or gotten a package? Thank you, Kalia, for my illustration. I don't know if you're in here this morning. But gotten a package and you open it up and it's not what you expected it to be. Or you get a package and you're so excited and you can't wait and it's finally here. Hey, baby, it's here. Woo! All right, and you open it up. Let's get it out. And you pull it out and you go, oh, that's not what I pictured. That's not. Have you ever ordered a Whopper and it doesn't look like the picture? You know what I'm saying? You get your food and you're just like, this is not like the picture. You ever have moments in life where you go through a situation and you go, this isn't what I pictured? Look to your neighbor and say, this ain't it. This ain't it. This ain't what I pictured. And sometimes we go through things like that. You got to throw in the ain't, you know, we're in the South here. This ain't what I pictured. And one of those situations for Avery and I was when we were going on vacation together, and we were going to go to Springfield, Missouri. I grew up in Ozark. Springfield's a great place because you've got Branson close by, but then you also have Springfield, so you're not staying in Branson because it's crazy when you stay in Branson. But it's a lot better if you stay in Springfield and then drive to Branson, and Springfield has all the nice shops and the good places to eat, and it's fun. And so it was going to be a great trip, and we had it all planned out. It was going to be wonderful, and we had been saving up a lot of money. We had been doing Dave Ramsey. How many do the Dave Ramsey stuff? Let me see the Dave Ramsey fans out there. Hey, you're not alone. We're doing it too. And it's really hard. It's miserable. And so we were doing that 5 years ago. We're still doing it because we haven't done it well enough. Anyway, get out of my financial business, okay? And so we had saved up our change. Every time you spend some cash, you get change. We'd put the change in a little piggy bank. We'd take the piggy bank to the bank. We'd deposit all that money or get cash for it. And then we put that in a fund, and we called it the no-touchy fund. In other words, get your hands off of it. It's saved for a special occasion, and we were going to use it on this vacation. And so we brought that with us, and we have been doing this for quite some time. We had, Avery, how much was it? Can you remember the amount? I can't either. Okay. I'm going to say $1,000. Is that fair? Because it was close to that. $1,000, $1,200. It was something like that in cash. We were so excited. We're like, this is going to be a fun trip, and two broke people are going to live like kings and queens for this Springfield trip. And we're excited, and we're ready to go, and we wake up at the hotel the next morning getting ready to go out there, and I see that my door is ajar, and I realize that I left all my cash in the car, and I left the door unlocked because I had the ones that you know, it's not fancy. You don't click a button. You have to go and lock each one, and so here's the mistake. You see what's coming here. And we got robbed of every bit of that money. And I felt foolish. And so then it was heartbreaking. You know, Avery was crying and she's upset. And it's like, how could we have done this? And I'm feeling like an idiot because she's like, why did you leave the door unlocked? And she wasn't mean about it. But I'm like, I don't know because I'm an idiot, you know. And so it was just this moment and we're going, well, what do we do? Do we go home? Do we stay? And so we're just going back and forth. And I was like, no, we need to stay. We need to still have this trip. And so we already have the Springfield Cardinals minor league baseball team tickets. So we can go to that and it won't cost us anything. And so it wasn't what we pictured as we're sitting in the stands. And instead of focusing on the baseball game, all we're thinking about is the money that's not there. And we're feeling sick and miserable. But God is good. Amen? And on the Jumbotron, they advertised Dollar Hot Dog Thursday. And I said, we can eat. And so I went, I said, Avery, I'll be right back. And I came back with 5 hot dogs. It was awesome. We ate, had a great trip, but it was not what we pictured. My lesson's called, This Isn't What I Pictured. Give me a second. Let me tell you about this too. We were going to Colorado. This is just another one of these. We're going to Colorado. My parents were taking my sister and I. Jaden wasn't in the picture yet. By the way, my brother Jaden's here this morning. Jaden, wave like this. Everybody say, hi, Jaden. Say, we love you, Jaden. Thank you. you're welcome. I know he loved that. And so he wasn't in the picture yet. We're young. We're going to Colorado. My parents are going to get us to go and to see the mountains. It's going to be great. And so we drive all the way to Colorado with me and my sister in the back seat fighting the whole way. And it's a long drive. It's a miserable drive. We were going from Louisiana. And so it was just a long trip. And we finally get there. And as my parents tell me, because I don't remember, they said, look, there's the mountains. And apparently we were coloring in our coloring books in the back seat. And we looked up and we said, oh, that's good. Hey, when can we go back to the McDonald's Playhouse and play again? We had so much fun in the McDonald's Playhouse that that's all we wanted to do, apparently, the whole trip while the mountains were right outside the window. And my parents looked at each other and said, this isn't what we pictured. We could have gone to the McDonald's Playhouse back at home. I went to a youth rally. I was the keynote speaker. And I prepared these lessons for this youth rally, and they planned for hundreds of people to be there, and it was going to be a great thing. And they had this song leader that was coming in, and he was going to do some great worship, and it was going to be a huge thing. They had hundreds of t-shirts piled up on a table. They had 3 tables worth of ladies who had cooked food, and they stacked all this food out there. And not even all of this particular church's youth group showed up for the youth rally, much less anybody else. And this youth rally ended up being, I spoke to the parents of the people from the church more than I did to the kids. This isn't what I pictured. Say that. Sometimes life takes you on a journey, and it's not the journey that you pictured it. And it's hard to adjust your perspective and to be okay with what you see when you pictured it being a different way. So let me ask you a question. What's your picture? What's your picture? You may have pictured your life looking like you were going to be just this muscular, good-looking, at 30 years old, at 40 years old, I'm going to be just so fit. Is it what you pictured? You may have pictured having the perfect kids, the perfect home, the perfect looks. Maybe you pictured, I'm going to save all of my money and I'm going to have a ton of money. And then I'm going to give to the church one day. And I'm going to be able to give these huge donations to the church. How's that work for you? Is it what you pictured? Let me ask you this one. Maybe your picture was Christianity's going to be pretty easy, pretty simple. I'm just going to show up and check the box, and the preacher's going to go and preach good sermons that aren't going to move me, and my church is never going to progress and move forward unless I'm okay with it. And maybe it's early retirement and the easy life, and I'm going to go and retire on a beach somewhere and sit back and kick back and not have to work anymore. How's that working for you? For those who are retired, is it what you pictured? Maybe you thought that your kids were going to become the quarterback and be the superstar of the football team. And I'm going to, you know, send them to the NFL and they're going to graduate magna summa cum laude or whatever all that is. And then you find out that your kids didn't even go to the community college and they like chess, not football. It's not what I pictured. Let me ask you something. Where did you get your picture? Where did you get your picture? Did you get your picture from Instagram? Did you get your picture from your friend's Facebook page? Because if that's where you got your picture, then what you're doing, let me give you a little hint. On the storyline of the people on Facebook and Instagram, they edited the photos. They're not what you see. They're changed. They're airbrushed and fixed up and cropped and filtered and all of these other camera words that I don't understand. And they've got the perfect angle taken with the perfect camera and magnified in this way to show just the right angle of what they're looking at. You're seeing the highlights of people's lives. You're seeing that this trip to Disney World has been the best trip because they're taking these fun pictures and everybody's laughing and smiling. And what you didn't see was 5 minutes before that as the kids were crying and screaming and the parents are saying, just take this picture and smile. And you don't get the full effect. Did you get your picture from Instagram? Or from Facebook? Or from someone else's life? Or what somebody told you life is supposed to be like? Where did you get your picture? Because if you got your picture from places like that and other people's lives and all the highlights of their life, by the way, that's what you're looking at, is the highest moments of other people's lives posted on this thing. And you're going, why is my life not like that? And if you knew what those people were going through, because here, I know what they're going through. They're going through difficulty and pain because that's part of living in this world. And if you knew all the details of your life, they would probably be saying to you, you're lucky that you're not living in my shoes. And yet, where did you get your picture? Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I want to start in verse 18, and I'm just going to tell you something. If that's the picture that you got, and you got it from other people in other places, or TV commercials, or all these other things, you're going to be disappointed. The problem is not your picture. The problem is not your situation. The problem is your picture. I'm going to say that again. The problem isn't your situation. It's your picture. It's not your circumstance. It's your picture. It's not the difficulties you face. It's the picture that you had of what you thought it was going to be. Where did you get your picture? If you're disappointed with how things are going in your life and you find that it isn't what you thought it was always going to be, here's my advice. Switch the picture. Switch the picture. If you got your picture from Instagram, switch the picture. And switch the source of where you're getting your picture from. And it will help you a whole lot. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. I love this section. This is right after that genealogy we talked about during communion. And you get to verse 18 and it says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but they, before they came together and keeping it G-rated, I need you to understand what that means there. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This isn't what I pictured. Okay? Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind... He had his picture in mind. And so in my mind, I have this picture of what it's going to be like. And I'm faithful to the law, but I don't want to expose her publicly. And so I've got it in my mind. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to divorce her quietly. And so often we find ourselves in trouble because we do what we had in mind rather than following what God has in store. And that's the problem that Joseph is facing at this moment. Is he going to do what he has in mind, or is he going to be okay to follow what God has in store for his life? And so he has it in mind to divorce her quietly. But then, verse 20, after he considered what? After he had already found out that my future spouse is now pregnant and it's not with me and I'm faithful to the law, but I don't want to expose her. Can you see the torn heart of Joseph in this moment and the torn mind of Joseph at this moment? I mean, he's looking at the physical evidence, and he knows his body, he knows where he's been and what he's done, and he says, that's not my child. And so then he's considering this, the text says in verse 20. And after he had considered, and so he's contemplating, what am I going to do with this situation here? This isn't what I pictured, so I'm going to consider it, and now I've got a new picture for how I'm going to handle this situation. This is what I'm going to divorce her quietly. And after he had considered all this, after it had been a few months that go by, after it had been a while and he's had to contemplate of what he's going to do in this situation, this was no quick decision. This was a considerable decision that took some time for him to come to the conclusion that he felt was most right based on his faith and beliefs. And he is a godly man, and he does this in a way that says, I want to honor God, but I don't want to shame her, so I'm going to try to do this quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. What is in her is from me, God says. What is in her is from me. The thing that you have pictured thinking that it's from the world or from someone else or from evil is not from, what's in her is not from them, it's from me. My question is this, if I'm Joseph, why couldn't you have told me that 6 months ago? You know what I'm saying? Why couldn't you have told me that earlier? Why did you make me have to consider and weigh and worry? And every man I looked at, I'm going, was it you? I know that he came to help with the fence and do this or do that. Or, you know, work, we had that roof problem. And Joseph, I was out and Mary was home alone. And he, why? After he had considered, then the angel comes. Did it have to be that way? Could God not have appeared to him in a dream 6 months ago? Why did he make him go through this whole time picturing it one way just so that God could interrupt it later? Ever happened to you? I've got this picture for my life, and this is the way it's going to go, and this is how it's going to work. And then God comes in and says, mm-mm. I got something else in store. And maybe you begin to wonder, why? Why did you let me go all this time thinking it was going to be this way when it's now going to be another? And I'll tell you this. It's because God has a plan. Amen? Man, it's real quiet in here. I'm assuming that's because you're thinking, and maybe this is hitting home a little bit, because it is really quiet in here right now, but there are a lot of eyes up here, so I think we're good. I hope it's not because you're bored. Listen to this. The world's greatest hope came through the greatest disappointment Joseph would ever face. Think about that. It was in his greatest disappointment, the greatest hurt, the greatest moment of betrayal, in the greatest disappointment that Joseph was ever going to face, God brings about the greatest hope for the world. And I wonder if he's not going to do the same thing in your situation. Joseph's plan and picture was interrupted because God had a greater plan. What if it isn't as you always pictured it? What if it's not going to turn out like you thought it would? Are you going to be okay with that? Are you going to be okay if the church doesn't turn out just like you thought that it would? We got a building project that's coming up. And our elders have been praying over this project and listening, and we've had these focus groups. We've all been a part of these things. Are you going to be okay if it isn't how you pictured it? Because I'll tell you, can I just be honest with you for a second? I had a picture in mind. Elders, I'm admitting it. I had a picture in mind of how I wanted it to be. And there are some things that are done that aren't how I pictured. Am I going to be okay with that? That's my opportunity of faith right there. You know what? What if your family life doesn't turn out how you pictured it? What if marriage isn't all that you pictured it to be before you got married? Will you be okay with that? Don't look at your spouse right now. You start dating and then you get engaged and this, wow, sweep me off my feet. The stomach drops every time I see you and you walk in the door and it's so wonderful and we hold hands everywhere we go. And we just smile and it's all great. And then you get married and 5 years down the road, is it what you pictured? You thought it would always be that way and yet it's another. Does that mean love is gone? Or does that mean love is something else other than feeling? And maybe love is a choice that's deeper than a feeling and brings more satisfaction than a dating relationship ever could. I don't know. Can't preach that sermon right now. What if it isn't what you pictured? Maybe the problem isn't your situation. Maybe it's your picture. And my encouragement to you is it's time to switch the picture. Slap your neighbor gently and say, switch the picture. I need you to do it with some confidence. Switch the picture. It's important. And then, listen, I love that part of the verse in verse 20 where it says, can I go a bit deeper? Are you okay with that? Because that part in verse 20, I need to hit this. Look at verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from me. And sometimes you look at the situation in your life and what's going on in your family and what's been brought into your home, and you say, I wish that this wasn't here. I want it to be a different way. But maybe God has brought this into your home for a greater purpose. What is in her is not from them. It's from me. Man, that brings it to a whole nother level for us, doesn't it? You know, this isn't what you pictured, but God would say, it's from me. He would say, I know it's not what you expected, but it's from me. I know it's not what you preferred, but it's from me. I know it's not fitting with your traditions and the way that you always saw it going and the way it's always been done, but it's from me. I know that you feel lonely and you feel like there are missing pieces. I know that you're tired and broken, but it's not from the world. It's from me. And I've got a plan. And it's a good plan. Wouldn't it be dumb? Let me rephrase. I said dumb. That's a very harsh word. I need to slap myself. I'll go a different direction here. Let me ask you this. Are you trying to build your life by the wrong picture? Because that's tough. If you have a picture in your mind of who you are, because see, not only do you have pictures in mind of how situations and physical things and physical families and marriage is supposed to work, we have a picture of what our life should be like. Who am I going to be? And maybe you're building by the wrong picture. Maybe it's not that you had these great expectations, but maybe you have a picture of yourself and you say, I'm worthless and I'm no good and no one will ever love me. And my encouragement is, where did you get your picture? Did you get that from God, or did you get that from your feelings and heart based on how others treated you in your life? I'm not saying your situation hasn't been difficult, but I'm saying that you need to switch the picture. Because wouldn't it be awful if you built your entire life based off a false picture of yourself? Man, that's devastating. I'm worthless and I'm no good. Where is that going to lead me if that's the picture of myself? In a complete different direction than what I want to go. Listen, the reason I read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 is because it's not you who framed the picture of your life. It was God who framed it. He's got the picture. He's holding the camera. He'll take it at the right angle. He'll lead you to where you need to be. I always had this woman. Her name was Lindy Loveland. I don't know if any of you know her, but she's an amazing, amazing woman. She actually, if you look in your song book, it's really interesting. I'm going to give her a shout out. Your Songs of Faith and Praise book at the beginning, her name's there at the beginning. And as one of the editors for the song book and put the songs together and the designs together, she worked on that song book that so many churches all around the world sing. She's a great woman of faith. And I love Lindy. And she was the perfect person to always come in. Avery, is that not true? Lindy is the one. If you're going to take a family picture, you get Lindy to come do it. And Miss Lindy, you'll love her. She's bubbly, she's fun, and she'll go, oh, no, you need to turn like this, and you get over here. Hey, I can't see your head back there. Hey, stand up, higher, straighter. I can't stand pictures, but Lindy loved it, and she was good, and brings the energy, and she says, okay, here we go, one, two. And she's great at that, and she puts us in these positions, and you go, after you see the picture, you go, wow, is that really a picture of me? Because that looks good. God's the photographer, and he's the perfect photographer, and he's holding the picture of your life in his hands. He's holding the camera of your life in his hands, and he's saying, I know where you need to stand. I know how you need to look. You need to get a bit lower. You're too high right now. Let me bring it down another level. You need to get on your knees. You need this in your situation, and I know it hurts. I know it's painful, but it's called a pruning process, and I've got a place for you to go, and this is going to help you get there. I know it hurts. I know you're lonely, but I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I have a plan for you. Don't quit. Switch the picture. This isn't what I pictured. Say that. This isn't what I pictured. Hey, Jaden, you remember when we sat in the hospital and we're sitting in there and Dad had cancer and Mom's been struggling with alcoholism? You remember that. And we're sitting in that room and we're sitting next to each other. And we didn't know if we were going to get to see Dad again. Remember that? And we were scared. And I don't remember how old you were, do you? But we're sitting in that hospital room. And Dad's on the operating table, and Mom's been struggling with alcoholism, and Jaden's young and sitting next to me, and he looks over at me, and he asked me a question that I didn't know the answer to, and he said, is Dad going to be okay? How do you answer that? How do I give him confidence? And I said, God is good. I think he'll be okay. We just need to pray. And it was Jaden that looked to me as I'm holding back tears. And he says, Nathan, God's got a plan. God's got a plan. And that hit me in that moment as my little, probably an 8 or 9 year old brother looks up to me and he's as scared as I am. And he tells me, Nathan, switch the picture. That's what he told me. He said those words, but that's what he meant. Switch the picture. That we didn't picture ourselves being there as a family in that hospital waiting room. That's not what we pictured. But God's got a plan. And it took an 8-year-old boy, my brother, to remind me that God's got a plan, to remind me to switch the picture. And it's because of that alcoholism of my mom for 8 years that was not what we pictured. It was because of my dad and his cancer and being able to survive that and to overcome that, that now we have the stories that are preached from pulpits to change lives. God had a picture. And it wasn't what I planned, and it wasn't what anybody planned. It wasn't what we pictured, but God's picture is better. Amen. God's picture is always better. Switch your picture. This is what I'm going to leave you with. Where did you get your picture? I don't know what is you're picturing. I don't know what life looks like for you. I don't know where you picture yourself in 10 years, or your church in 10 years, or your family in 10 years. My question is not what do you picture, but where did you get that picture? And my encouragement is to find your picture in the Word of God. This is where the picture is found. Get on your knees, open up your Word, bow your head, and seek the Almighty who's holding the camera to the picture of your life. Think about it. If you need to respond, won't you come while together we stand and sing? I
serve a Savior, he's in the I know that he is.